anyway, we were worried about Pete because we didn't think he was going to make it through the traffic because of the biffer truck that's holding up everybody on the dual carriageway. But you managed to make it.
Yeah, in the nick of time. Your red lights aren't working, by the way.
They're not, are they? You haven't broken them, have you?
And I object to these girly headphones. I suppose I'm Pete.
It's quite a good look, actually, Pete. I'm quite impressed, actually.
I've got a pair of really camp-looking white headphones.
We'll get a picture of that for the website tomorrow.
You won't.
You got the Butch ones, Arthur.
I got the boys ones.
So, what's the subject then, Pete? Over to you.
The subject I'd really like to talk about today, and this is one that goes to the nub of the issue where the economy of the country is concerned and the overall state of happiness in the workplace is concerned, is the workplace itself and how it has changed quite radically over the period that I've been an adult. So we're talking about since 1979, for the sake of arguments, when a certain young lady...
You've been an adult that long, have you, Pete?
I have, yeah. I'm that old, yeah. But me and Arthur are both pretty much the same vintage, and he must remember, as I do, that when you went out to... You left school and you went to work, apart from the fact that there was an enormous choice of jobs. If you didn't like the first job you went into, you simply handed in your notice and walked two doors down the road and tried something else. Mm. Apart from that, it was fun going to work, wasn't it?
It taught you about life. It was your first step into the real world, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
I mean, it's been replaced these days by going to university, because you don't go out and get a job now. You get your first stage of living in the real world by going out to university. And then, of course, that still doesn't mean you're working in the real world, does it?
No, it doesn't.
I know that's going to offend somebody, me saying that, but it is a fact. You know, you need to really be with older people to get a bit of peer pressure to start to point you in the direction of how you're going to live your life.
Yep.
And you don't get that from being surrounded by loads of people at the same age as you.
Well, the point is, when we left school at the age of... I was 15, I expect you were the same.
I was 17, actually, when I left school.
Cool. Yeah. He was a boffin, he stayed on for the sixth form.
I kept him on, because
I did, but
to.
I left after a couple of months, so I had to go. they thought I was my sister. They only looked at the name. Yeah.
My God, what does your sister look like?
No. Well, they looked at the name, you see. It was the name.
Who thought that? Yeah. I mean, did he ever go to Specsavers?
No, the headmaster. When I said I had to leave, he tried to talk me out of it.
Oh, right.
And I said, you are looking at the right details to the right person, aren't you? And he looked at it, he said, oh, my. He said, oh, it's your sister. I'm very sorry. Have a good time, he said. Enjoy yourself. Shook me hand, and then close the door on your way out.
What, are you a twin then?
No, she was older than me, my sister.
All right.
But the records were still there, you see.
Hey, look, the phone's ringing already. Oh. Hi, who's this?
Hello, boys, it's only me.
Hello, only me.
It's probably you that's caused that snarl up outside, isn't it, Mark, eh?
Where don't you start, Arthur? You know them chairs he was on about? If he bought one of them, you'd need one for each cheek.
I'm laughing, but I don't know what you're on about. What chairs?
I was looking for some new chairs for the studio, because, as you can see, we're a little bit snug, and I was going to go for smaller chairs on wheels, and I found one, and it was £20, and I looked at it, I thought, perfect, just a job.
It's a cheapskate, isn't
it? I looked closer. Yeah. We need three of them. That's £60. I looked closer, and it only takes up to 13 stone, or 12 and a half stone. And I thought, well...
I ain't going to get on that.
I didn't think of you, Arthur. I thought of my old mate Humpty.
Oh, he's bigger than me.
Boy,
yeah.
Do you know what? I've just walked past the lavatories on their way to the studio here, and there's a weight restriction sign on one of the pans.
You're joking.
No.
What was the restriction?
I can't remember what it
was. I bet it was in kilos.
Yeah, it was in kilos. That's why I don't remember it. But I thought, my God, they're actually putting weight restrictions on toilet pans these days.
It's made in China, that's why.
It kind of leads us on to the workplace, doesn't it? Because,
it does,
you know, you've got to have... I was there thinking, well, you've got to have comfortable chairs for people, you know.
Well, this goes on from yesterday, Pete. I don't know whether you was listening yesterday.
No, I couldn't.
Or you are.
Well, I was in my shop yesterday, and I haven't got... Well, I've got a telephone line now, but it's just been put in.
That's faster than Ian's got.
Yeah.
Right,
So I couldn't listen, sadly. What was being said yesterday?
Well, no, we had this... There was a young lad on, Ollie, yeah? And he was moaning that he's going to have to pay full price now because he loses his student card, right? Yeah. This kid's 21.
He ain't a kid then, is he? That's the thing. That's the thing, isn't it?
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm 53, so...
You youngster.
I mean, I really left school at 13. And what you're saying's dead right. Now, a mate of mine, Arthur.
Yeah.
How long was your apprenticeship, mate?
5 years.
So was mine.
Hard labour.
Yeah.
Exactly the same as my mate. He done 5 years as a Sparky apprenticeship.
Yeah.
How long was yours, Pete?
5 years. I started at 15. I was finished at 21.
Exactly. Same. 5 years. Now they're giving these apprenticeships out for a year or 2 years.
You can't learn anything in 2 years, can you?
A year and 2 years. What can you learn in that?
Well, for the speaking for myself, I was absolutely useless, really, to my governor until I was in about the third year of my apprenticeship. Really, all I was there for was to make the tea, sweep the floor, and sort of go around the West End with a bag picking up the work.
Yes.
But, you know, I did learn a few bits and pieces, but it's year three you start really getting
useful.
You learned
about life, though, Pete, because
you
were surrounded by older people.
That's right,
who showed you the ropes. They might have made fun of you, and they might have given
you
a hard time.
You don't want to know.
But you learn a lot more from stuff like that than you do from somebody standing there with his hands closed saying, "Now, what are we going to do today, boys?"
That's exactly right, Arthur.
Yeah.
Now, I remember the first sight.
That was creepy.
They had me running all over the place like a donut.
Yeah. He was either creepy or he was Welsh, this guy you were portraying.
It was slightly vicarish, wasn't it?
This business, though, of sending kids off to uni for 3 years where they build up this whacking great big debt, and they learn how to party, you know, and they'll probably get a bit of paper at the end of it. But that's a wheeze, isn't it, on the part of politicians to keep kids off of unemployment statistics.
But the problem is...
Yes, to keep the unemployment down.
Yeah.
Now, as I said to Ian the other day, my boy wants to be a carpenter joiner. He don't just want to be a bog standard carpenter. He wants to go through the proper lot, the whole lot. So I had a mate who's got a company over there, tried to set him up with something, and it looked like after a year or year and a half, he'd come out with this bit of paper without actually doing anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you get that bit of paper. You can get now an MVQ in 6 months and you're an electrician.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you let that bugger in your house?
You wouldn't. I wouldn't let him out on my carsy, let alone in my house. But
see, this is what I'm saying.
It's the kids who are losing out, though, isn't it? Because they're not getting the proper training.
Yeah, but see, the trouble is, though, Pete, what you've got is you've got people who are not children anymore, who've got possibly families who need to earn a wage.
Yeah, of course they do.
And they're not going to earn a wage as an apprentice. And then we don't have mates these days as such, do we? You know, in the olden days, if you had somebody who was a bit older, he wasn't an apprentice, he might be classed as a mate, or in my industry, you'd have an electrical labourer, where you could have a lad who would be upping all your stuff around, and you would show him a little bit as well, and he would be perhaps learning the basics of his own accord, you know. So there was another way round it in that respect. But you can't learn an industry in a year. You can't learn an industry in 2 years. It takes time. And the thing is, you don't just finish when you pack up at college. You have to go out and learn in the real world. I mean, when I learned to drive at 17 and passed first time,
So did I.
Only three lessons too.
Yeah. Well, three lessons. 33 lessons. My instructor was an old Bill, and he said to me, "Right, now you've passed your test, go out and learn how to drive."
That's about right.
And that was just about the way it is. Now you've passed your exams, go and learn how to be a carpenter. Go and learn how to be an electrician. You don't learn it on a desk. You don't learn it on a bit of paper. You can only learn it in the field. And in this day and age, who's got the spare money to take on lads and show them?
Yeah, I'd really feel sorry for the kids now. I do. I think we had the best time.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, in the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did have the best time. And I've always intended, Mark, to take on an apprentice myself at some stage, but I've found that I've been self-employed since 1984, an ominous year, 79 being another one.
Yeah.
And what I've found is that I've gone from one recession to the next.
Yeah.
Because we've got this swings and rounds about sort of... a basket case of an economy, to be honest, and as you just about survive one recession, you're into the next,
and then you're on the next
and
one.
Because of that, nothing's consistent. You can't rely on your income when you're self-employed. You know, you do live from day to day, don't you? Hand to mouth.
You do, because the simple fact of the matter are that if the phone don't ring, you could be sitting on your backside. Yeah. And if you've got a team of blokes or an apprentice or a lad, he is sitting there looking at you and you're paying his wages.
Money.
And you're not earning yourself. So it's the economics of the madhouse, isn't it?
Yeah. What you need is politicians with the actual intelligence to run a stable economy. And we haven't had that long before Thatcher.
You see, they have pushed one or two of these things in the past, though, Mark, where they've tried to sort of say, well, we'll give you a helping hand if you take on an apprentice, if you do this. When I used to run companies, we used to get sent two or three lads on work experience.
Yeah.
Well, I used to make sure them lads knew what the job was all about, but a lot of the companies would just use them as cheap labour.
Oh, yeah, and get the money in off of the government.
Exactly, cheap labour. And, of course, they get kicked out at the end of their period of time. All they know is they've walked around a building site or wherever, they've been abused and shouted at and screamed at and made the tea and learnt absolutely nothing. You know?
That's why I said to my boy, you're not doing it. And I rung my mate up who owned the firm, and I said, you're not having him. You're not taking the mickey out of him.
Well, he ain't going to learn.
If you want to give him, and I know the fella who's got 4 or 5 years' work in front of him on the Isle of Wight. 4 or 5 years' work in front of him. I said, if you want him, you give him a proper apprenticeship. You're not having him for a 6 month or a year, and booting him out the door so you can get another one in and be paid off of that mob at the top.
This is what I said. I said yesterday, there are these companies that are being allowed to get away with this, and they shouldn't be. That there are a number of people that I've spoken to in the last 12 months. One of them was a lad that came in and did a commercial because he wanted to get back into work, so we offered him a commercial, and he wanted to become a vet. And he went to work at a place on the Isle of Wight. They took him on for 6 months, and then they got rid of him. He was good at what he did. They gave him a glowing reference. They got rid of him because they can then get somebody else in for free, and they take over. And that's wrong.
Standard. That is standard behaviour.
That shouldn't be allowed. If you are going to be at the end of it giving somebody a glowing report, and then you're going to take on somebody else to take his role up, then there should be some kind of law in there, some kind of transparency that says you can't do that.
Yeah, but you do have to watch the other side of the coin, though, Ian, because that might be that particular company. But if you're a small company and your workload slows down and you're tied into a contract with the government to take somebody on, you might not be able to pay the wages of somebody else.
Yeah.
And yet, you've got to keep them employed. So you do get the other side of the coin. I mean, I always used to work out, if I had a gang of 10 geezers working with me, right, I would reckon on probably 7 of them being working at any one time. The rest of them would either be dossing, having a fag, nipping down the toilet, or chatting. So you were always at the workout on the percentages in that respect. If you had 5 apprentices, you could probably reckon that any one time, 2 of them would be doing anything. The other 3 would be standing there watching. And it's the way things are, you know, but there's no mileage for that. My old governor used to moan at me when he'd say to me, why are you still keeping that bloke on? And I say, well, because one of the 20 geezers is going to be a tosser, basically.
Yeah.
So I might as well have the one that I know I can push around and have some bloke in who plays the game, you see.
Right.
And you know, you get something out of them. And then you think, well, all right, I don't want to do that horrible job. I'll get matey to do it. And yeah, he'd go and do it. And I know that's a horrible thing to say, but you know he wasn't very good at doing the job, so you give him a bit longer to do it. And if he was happy, he was getting paid, and we had our percentage.
Well, I mean, when I left school back in 1981, after you guys, obviously, because I'm a lot younger than you two, I got myself...
just that hard life, haven't you?
I got myself, was it a youth training scheme, the YTS thing? Do you remember them?
Yeah, yeah.
£23.50. They took me on for a whole year, and at the end of the year, they took me on. And I continued in the boatyard until I was 21. Okay,
right.
It wasn't an apprenticeship,
you,
but it worked.
Yeah.
But that's employers that are genuine. There are, and yes, I can see both sides. If there are people out there that are just going to take people on and give them 6 months experience of life, give them 6 months experience of work, then that kind of works as well. But there has to be some kind of honesty.
But they're not, though, Ian, are they? They're pushing these kids in to staying on at school. Staying on at school till you're 18. You're a man.
That's exactly it, Mark. What can you teach an 18-year-old in a school environment?
There you go.
You can't.
You know what I mean?
You can't teach them, or it's hard to teach them at 16. So when they're up to 18, you know, you're going to go out in the evening and they're going to be in the pub the same as you are.
They're
turning up in a car.
They regard themselves as being adults, entitled to start living an adult lifestyle.
Well, next year,
they need a job to go with it.
Next year, north of the border, you'll be able to vote as well.
This boy
16.
We had living in our little at the bottom, right? 19 years old when he turned up here. Yeah? Wants to be a butcher. Yeah, that's a 5-year apprenticeship. He's left us now. He was here for a year. And he got help. He got help with his rent from the government. He got help from the government with the boss up there. But the boy's moving on. You with me? He's doing everyone a favour.
I'm still working out, Mark. I'm still working out how it takes 5 years to be a butcher. All you need to do is make sure you don't cut your fingers off, innit?
Yeah, but the thing is, look,
that's a skill trade, that is.
And old Bill would not let me near a knife. Now, that was then in 73. Now, there weren't no health and safety then.
Did you say the old Bill wouldn't let you near a knife?
No, I think Bill was the butcher.
I used to make fun of a lad we had with us, who was an apprentice painter. And I used to say to him, how can you possibly be an apprentice painter? If you can have an eyelash, you can paint, can't you?
You know the other one. Yeah,
yeah.
Right, you lot, you have a good one.
All right.
Cheers, mate. See you later. Bye. Just to remind people that the number is...
Yeah.
I don't know what you said. Good luck with something.
Oh, cheers, mate.
Good luck with the shop, I think. Yeah. If you want to know what the number is today, it's 52. It changes every day. 525-424. 525-424. That is the one, isn't it?
I don't know. What the number I phoned the other day?
Somebody ring it, for God's sake. 525-424.
On the subject of these companies using the apprentice scheme, you know, by like you were talking about this young lad who had the job for 6 months, he was doing all right at it, then he's out the door. Mm. I've heard that so many times. But there are so many other schemes that businessmen are able to make use of as well, like 0 hours contracts. That's a lovely little ways, isn't it?
Where did that one come in from, eh? 0 hours contract. What? That's not a contract, is it?
No, it's not a contract. But I know people who are dead keen to work. There's somebody been banging the hell out of your roof, Ian, and now the lights are flashing.
Well, maybe that lorry's coming this way, Ian.
That's a bit of a worry, isn't it? I did see that. I thought, what's going on? Here we go again.
I didn't know we'd come with disco today, Pete. But mind you, got the gay headset on, so I suppose...
Does that mean I've got to be the girl?
Well, you know...
That was almost desperation. He was desperate to be the girl, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Does that mean I've got to be the girl?
I haven't got a handbag to dance around, so I'm not doing it.
Someone's already had that away, haven't they?
Anyway, this business about 0 hours contracts, it seems to me that some of the biggest corporations in the land are using them. I can think of people who work in an extremely large supermarket right here on the island who are... Wait, sitting there waiting for the phone to go. They get no holiday pay. They get no sick pay. It's, you know, these are big corporations turning over billions, not millions, billions. And they're getting away with using things like this 0 hour contract.
But how does that work, Pete? How can you have a 0 hours contract?
It's because we're living in a really weird, perverse sort of economy.
You're signed up to a company who don't have to give you any money at all. Or any work, but you can't work for anybody else if you signed up for this company.
Yeah, people are expected to sit by the telephone waiting for it to ring.
Ready for another call?
Yeah.
Hi, who's that?
Hello, it's Vanessa.
Hello, Vanessa.
What are you doing these days?
Oh, I've had a lovely summer.
Oh, bless you.
No stress. Well, apart from normal everyday living, but no stress, no worries, no waking up in the middle of the night, wondering what certain Mr. Barn and Mr. Pugh were going to do next.
On the subject of Mr. Pugh, Vanessa, what do you think about him getting a directorship at Whitelink?
He hasn't got a directorship.
Is it official?
They've employed him as a consultant, as far as I know.
Oh, was he a consultant?
Is that on 0 hours?
Probably. With a bit of luck.
Well, you get 0 hours if you've got zero knowledge, don't you?
Well, you know why White Link have done it. Think laterally.
I'm pretty sure it said in the county press he got a directorship.
Well, I don't
know. No. He gets to direct a ship.
It's not what I've heard, but then...
I'll be going down then, won't it?
Yeah.
But think about it. Andrew Turner is having another go at White Link, is he not?
Yeah.
Right? So what White Link's answer, they think, to block Andrew Turner?
Does Andrew Turner want a directorship as well, is he?
No. What I'm saying is Andrew Turner is trying to have a go at White Link again up at government level, trying to get something done about costs and ferries and everything else, right? And what's White Link's antidote for Andrew Turner? Think about it.
Well, they're not going to like each other particularly anyway, are they?
Well, exactly. But, and they obviously think that Master Pugh still has a lot of influence up in government.
Master Pugh? Is he Master Bates?
Yeah, I think he could be, actually.
Master Pugh? That's. Do you honestly think he's still got clout? I mean, I got an email that would blow any clout out the window.
Ian, why would you actually employ, to me, a discredited councillor? Because if you look at the school situation, Hampshire's report about the whole thing is absolutely damning. Chris Whitehouse, is it? Put in the county press this week that Carisbrook Enterprise College, not Carisbrook, Cows Enterprise College, was a white elephant. Hang on a minute. The Tories admitting a Tory made an enormous mistake.
Good on him, isn't it? Good on him.
Mm. Well, yeah.
Gone up in my estimation.
Well, I feel like writing to the county press and saying, "Oh, you're admitting mistakes at last." Up to now.
why would what is his job going to be at White Link?
I haven't a clue.
Because as far as I can see, they seem to be cutting down on their staff. They only have one person that does all the jobs and moves the ropes and unhooks them and ties them up and everything and waves them off and probably gets in and turns the steering wheel as well. It looks like the staff has gone down by about half as far as I can see. So why would they need another layer of management?
Cool, and that's going to boost morale, isn't it?
You get him in there as well.
The reason they want another tier of management, and Mr. Pugh in particular, is because that's the way business works in this country.
Is it somebody to fend the flak? Someone that you might be able to direct your attack at rather than the people you really want to get to?
Maybe.
Well, as I said, I mean, it's just a theory that I have that, you know, it's to counteract the criticism that Andrew Turner and the flak that he is started up again. But as I said, I could be wrong. It's just my take on the situation.
I have to say I'm surprised though, Vanessa, because I thought when he flounced off and was booted out that he was going to sort of like go to the mainland and seek pastures new and everything, and yet to find out that he may be not seeking pastures new but might be back on his doorstep again seems a bit of a come down to me.
All right, hang on a sec. Hold that thought. Hi, who's this on the other line?
Just one thing.
Go on, quickly.
Directorship. That's what he really got at White Link, a directorship.
Yeah, that's what I thought the county press said.
A consultant.
Oh.
So exactly, it's all going to sing. Good luck, Vanessa.
Thanks, mate. It is a directorship.
Perhaps Macquarie are using him as a sponge to soak up all the grief.
Well, that could be the answer, couldn't it? I wonder if he wants any apprentices, Pete.
Yeah. He won't take them,
will
he? Zero-hours contracts, once.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel it's just a shame that people can come and go in the councillors, whether they're employed or elected members, leave the most appalling mess behind, and there is absolutely no redress.
Mm. Tony Blair.
Well, and Gordon Brown, who sold off all our gold reserves at a cheap rate.
And the present Prime Minister,
John Major.
Oh, I don't know. John Major was a clever cookie.
Only when it came to his secretary that he wasn't having an affair with.
Oh, well, I don't know, but he was a clever cookie. He just didn't have the charisma to, you know.
I think we've covered all the bases there with our political leanings, haven't we?
Do you know what I'd say about John Major is he was, since Margaret Thatcher, he is the least destructive Prime Minister we've had.
Probably because we didn't notice him.
Yeah. Maybe that's it. But I'd say I'd put Thatcher at the top of the list. I'd put Blair close behind her. This guy Cameron is probably going to sort of get
camel leg. You mean?
Yeah. Brown. Well, what can we say about Brown?
Clunking great fists. That's all he's got.
Well, there's some American president a long time ago apparently said good government is when you keep your nose out and just let things sort themselves out and get on with it. And I can't help thinking every time they meddle and interfere, they create as many demons as they think they are curtailing, you know.
Does that mean then?
And in fact, the apprenticeship scheme, to go back to your original thing, I think it is classic, but the problems don't arise from the apprenticeship scheme. The problems arise from, to me, lack of discipline in the schools, so kids don't think they've got to work. Followed by this absolute obsession, I've got to go to university.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Obviously, we're now admitting we should never have got rid of the polytechnics. I have a friend who talked about universities and talked about fee fodder. Now, think about it, folks. If you don't get people into your university, you don't get funding and lecturers get the boot and everything else. So it's a vicious circle, isn't it?
I think there's a bit of a sort of a class thing that comes in here, Vanessa, because when I was a kid, there was never any thought. University was never on the agenda.
Not for
it
me.
Would never have been mentioned. It was something that the rich and famous did with their children. There was absolutely no even consideration. Not that I would have wanted to go anyway, but suddenly it seems that university is for everybody's consideration.
Well, this was, of course, the fault of Blair. Do you remember it was Miss Dr. King at Ryde Ryde School, and I asked him one day, you know, where we got
Dr.
this
King,
thing
you
about
mean Dr. England?
Dr. England, about 50% of students going to university, and his comment was, Vanessa, it was a figure that Blair pulled out of the air with absolutely no research at all. It was just a typical Blair barrister type on the stage, you know, performing in front of the public. Mm-hmm. And he just, as I said, pulled this figure out of the air. And from then on, everybody cottoned onto it, 50% of people. And of course, it's rubbish. University should be for the really clever people of the world, not... money shouldn't come into it. I don't mind paying taxes if we're going to produce doctors, scientists, engineers, mathematicians, astronomers. You can have my money with pleasure, but I object to my money going to support another media degree, a hairdresser, etc., and photographer.
It's all
degree.
Window dressing, isn't it, Vanessa? It's just to keep kids out of to keep kids out of unemployment statistics and keep them busy. Make it look like you're running a successful economy, which we haven't done for decades.
You can see the way things have gone. Right, you don't just have a grade. You don't have an A or a B. You have a star or a double A or an A with a question mark or an A with another A or an A over an A. You know, how can you have an A star?
Little Johnny's as thick as two short planks, but he's got an A. Let him go without a bit of paper in his hand.
So I don't understand any of that anyway. That's totally beyond me. But what it means is that if you're looking for someone for a job, everybody that turns up, including the road sweeper, is going to have been to university. So who's going to get the job? Well, it ain't going to be the road sweeper, is it?
Yeah,
it's going to be the person with the higher grade and that's been to the better university. So it doesn't do anybody any favours, does it?
Well, you say that, but conversely, when somebody turns up for a job and they see the word this degree or that degree on the CV, it can frighten some managers off because they think, oh, this bloke's far too clever for the job and I don't want to lose my job. I'm not going to have anybody clever underneath me.
I tell you something, right? When I came over here, I phoned up a certain electrical company thinking I'd had enough of running businesses for a few years and VAT. I'd go and work for somebody else. And I phoned up this guy, and actually before I come to the island, but that's neither here nor there. And it turned out I had more qualifications than the bloke who's running the company. And I thought myself, well, I don't really want to work for him because I know what it'll be. It'll be, there's the drawings, you get on and do it, and I'll sit on my backside. So I thought, no, I'm not going to be someone else's monkey in that respect. You know, and that is the way things work. And we used to have a thing called a card, which you used to show when you went on the sites. Not a union card, but it was an industry card. And mine was a gold card, not because it was anything better than anybody else's, it's just that it was gold-coloured. But the first thing, oh, you've got a gold card. Oh, are you a technician? Oh, right, well, you can be in charge of this gang. And I said, no, I'm only getting the same wage as everybody else. Oh, yeah, but if you're a technician, you can go and do this. And this is the trouble that you see. You get sorted out and singled out. And you don't want to go as that. You want to go as the ordinary people, you see. But that's the way things are these days. We don't have a card, do we? All we've got is what Pete's showing. Oh, it's a mobile phone. That's what we've got.
Take your picture.
Yeah. But I think part of the other problem with apprenticeships, when I ran the gallery, I did it for 3 years running, had a work experience for a week. They sent me somebody from the college. But of course, then health and safety kicked in, didn't they? And I was probably one of the better type tiny businesses that could say to somebody, look, I'm an owner, you know, I'm self-employed, this is the real world, come and work with me this week and I'll show you and talk to you about anything and everything. I even have one or two people who come up to me even now and say, do you remember me? I came to you for a week, because I said to them, look, it's a rough, tough old world, it's what you make it if you ever want to be self-employed. However, health and safety got in the way because my equipment, because it was framing equipment, could be dangerous. I didn't have two separate loos. I didn't have this. And so that immediately stopped me having
I'll give you an example where health and safety is totally out the window. The other day, we probably saw on the television all them horses being rounded up that have been left to starve in the field somewhere in Hampshire.
There was
a bloke there with a clipboard talking about the horses to the television, and he had a full cream cheese on, and he had a nice, lovely, shiny blue sight hat. And you think, well, what is likely to hit him on the head behind a fence away from a load of rabid horses? You know, nothing's going to hit that guy on the head. Why is he wearing a hat? What is the point of wearing that hat? Moreover, what is the point of wearing that jacket? The horses don't recognise the jacket. If they're going to run past, they're going to run him over whether he's got a jacket on or not. You know, and yet, I've just come down the road from here now. There's a guy standing up the road from here. He's not only got a full-length cream cheese overcoat down to his knees. Underneath it, poking out the bottom and out the sleeves and out the front, is a bright orange fluorescent thing. He's standing there. He looks like a banana standing at the side of the road. And I'm thinking to myself, do you know what? I'd like to run him over just for the sake of it, to say, sorry, mate, I was blinded by the colours. You know, he's probably got ear defenders on as well, and steel toe caps, but he didn't have a sight hat on.
I clearly remember having this business of the health and safety put firmly into my mind at the time when we won the Olympic bid in 2005. And shortly afterwards, there was a brownfield site in East London where the stadiums are now. And Blair and Brown and a bunch of other highfalutin people were the
lackeys.
A job's worth or two in tow, and a builder and an architect and whatnot. They were standing in the middle of this great big flat field with nothing on it at all wearing the high vis gear and the hard hats. And you look at it and you think, what is the point in that? It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
Well, of course, it's
we've gone off subject, haven't we?
We've gone off subject here, haven't we?
Yeah.
But I'm going back again to apprenticeships. Don't forget, in the old days when kids were indentured, was that the correct word?
That's what I had.
They had sometimes had pretty appalling conditions.
I had to stand and clean up the cups once in a while.
Oh no, we're not talking about that. I mean,
we have gone a little bit soft as well, though. I mean, just to make a point. I mean, about what you were saying just now about the schools and it being drummed into you about the right way forward. I mean, my son, 18 months ago, we said to him, when you leave school, you know, you're going to have to start paying keep, don't you? And he was absolutely going to refuse to pay any keep whatsoever. I'm not paying keep. I'm not paying money. Why should I do that? And we then realised that he was like a little bit out of touch. And nobody is that. Nobody. When somebody's telling you for the first time, you're going to have to cough up some of your money. It's like, well, hang on a minute. No one said that. Well, that's, he was 16 at the time. That's, no one's told him to. But ever since then, we've kind of told him, look, hey, look, what's what happens is you leave school, you then have to start paying for things. If you want things, you pay for them. And now he's fine. Like I say, he's in the army. He's in the army college. They make them pay for their room. They pay for their food, and they learn the value of money. Well, and it's sad that he had to leave school to get that lesson. Yeah, okay, he had it drummed in at home, but it's obviously not being drummed in at school.
That's an indication of how the culture has changed, isn't it? Because it wasn't like that when we were at school and leaving and starting our apprenticeships. There was no question of you were raring to get out of school and get into work.
And the first wage packet you came home with, your dad standing there at the door, right, now I want, what have you got right now? Yep. This as much is for your mum. Yeah. This much is for savings.
Oh, I had that as well.
Yeah, some money was taken away for savings.
My mum used to say, you made that in other ways.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, this is the way, and you know, you're standing there with your my was 11 quid. You're standing there and you've got 2 quid left and you think, well, what am I going to do with that? But the thing is, you see, if there's one thing that university is teaching the kids now, it's actually, well, this is your money you're spending now because you've got to pay it back some stage. And a lot of kids are leaving home. My nephew's gone for the first time. He's left home on Monday. My sister's taken him to university, left him there. He's now got to clean his own clothes. She phoned me up on the Sunday night and asked me, because he didn't know how to turn the cooker on. And she said, what sort of cooker will he... How would I know? I don't know where... You know. But the point is, he doesn't even know how to turn the cooker on. Well, it's a, you know, when you're hungry, you soon learn to go and ask somebody else. So the one thing the university will do is teach kids some skills in conversing with other people, but it won't teach you how to converse with people who are older than you.
Actually, if you think about it, before university came along, we had conscription. Both my brothers, I think my younger was the last of the intake, had conscription, and because my mother had always made both my brothers at least learn rudiments of boiling an egg, etc., and they could both sew, and my eldest brother in the RAF used to charge people the old 5 pence every time he sewed a button on in the barrack room for them.
Good on him. But doesn't that kind of highlight the problem that we've got is these life skills are not being, they're not being taught in schools, and they're not being taught in the home.
Well, yes, look,
what is a school actually should be for education and teaching perhaps manners, but a school is not a substitute for parents. And I'm sorry, if things are going wrong, you can't blame the schools and the education system. And part
I
of
blame
problem,
the parents, the schools and the government. Yeah,
you don't get
frankly.
Life skills from an Xbox, do you?
No.
But
we've gone a little off track here, Vanessa.
A little? Cool, blimey.
And I'd really like to pull this back onto the line. I wanted it to go down.
He's got to do adverts in a minute.
We're
going
to do adverts in a minute. Well, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of angles. We've, you know, sort of health and safety and that. That's all stuff we did need to be talked about. But we've spent quite a lot of time talking about university and pushing kids down that route. But most of Britain's kids, to say the same is true today as it was in the past, our skill lies in what we can make with our hands. And whilst we've been pushing kids into uni to sort of expand their brains, hopefully, if that's what occurs, what we really have missed out on big time is teaching people to be creative with their hands, to build things. And it's something that one of our so-called competitor countries is very good at, but we've completely lost touch with. Now, the competitor country I'm talking about, you're going to guess, it's Germany.
Oh,
I admire the way the Germans run their economy. I think their economy is spot on. Mm. And the thing is, the German economy and the British economy were very comparable 40 or so years ago. We were as creative as they were. Yes, we had problems with the trade unions, and they got out of order, And we all know what happened then. But since then, in the 30 or so years since Thatcher destroyed the unions by pulling their teeth, we've continued to decline. And that isn't down to the unions. That's down to politicians and management in the main. But the point is, we've got millions of kids in this country with who knows what in the way of talent. They could be making things with their hands, building ships, sewing shirts, whatever. And then the government are not paying any attention whatsoever to that, to making it happen, to facilitate those kids to be able to get out there and make a living. And that's what I think Parliament and politicians should be there to do.
Pete, I'll say one thing to you about that. Cheap imports and a throwaway society. I can remember my father mending the electric kettle when I was a child. What happens now? The kettle breaks down or breaks or whatever.
Buy a new one.
In the bin. And that is part of the reason
that's part of
why
it.
Generations, the last couple of generations, don't use their hands because we've become affluent. They go down the road and buy another one.
That's going to change.
That's changing now.
It's changing now.
That's the problem we have, because people basically are lazy. They can't be bothered. They don't have to learn how to do this. And I totally agree with you. And that is down to education.
We're going to have to leave it there.
Anyway,
but thanks for your call.
Good to speak to you today, Vanessa.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Cheers, Dale.
Bye. Quick break, and then we'll come back with more.
The Isle of Wight phone-in is powered by White Fibre, providers of next-generation TV, crystal clear HD with live pause, rewind and recording. Call them on 240 240.
Hi, Chris Quinton here from Vapor Monkey Electronic Cigarettes. I'd like to take a moment of your time to talk about Stoptober. If you've been struggling to give up smoking yourself, or if there's somebody in your life who needs to stop, October is the month to jump into action. One of the main things about Stoptober is the length of the event. Statistically, you're far more likely to give up smoking for good if you can go without nicotine for 2 weeks. This event should therefore be more successful than the traditional no smoking day. We've plenty of nicotine products for sale, which can help you get your Stoptober started. Find our website at www.vapormonkey.com or phone me directly on 07956 448 382. We look forward to hearing from you.
Where do you go for a wide range of animal feeds, accessories and lots more? Sandown Pet Store are the island's premier store for all your pets needs. We are open 6 days a week on St John's Road, Sandown. Telephone 01983 407788 and speak to Paul or Wendy for a friendly and reliable service.
Now, not a lot of people know this, but Red Squirrel Property Shop got a place in Newport, St Thomas Square. And in that shop, they've got some houses to buy, to sell, to let. With landlords here, tenants there, here a house to buy, there a flat to sell, with staff who really care. Now, to discuss what you need to do, call them on 01983 521212. That's 01983 521212. Or go to redsquirrelpropertyshop.co.uk. The doors will be sound because everyone knows you are not supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
Hi, I'm Kay from Fit to Relax. I'd like you to come and see why we are different. At the Fit to Relax gym, you are guaranteed a welcome and friendly atmosphere and more of an enjoyable way to exercise. With only 8 people per session, we are able to provide a more personal and individual approach. Open daytimes, weekends and evenings. Why not give us a call and arrange your induction? You won't regret it and it could change your life. Call us on 07838 196746 or email us on fittorelax@hotmail.com to arrange an induction. Look forward to meeting you. Thank you.
All Washed Up are a local band playing an upbeat mix of skiffle, blues and bluegrass. Quality music for pubs, parties, events and charities. Last year we played Bestival, this year the Isle of Wight Festival and the Postfest. Great music available at a really reasonable price. Listen to us now, click audio on the Vectis Radio website to find out more about how you can book All Washed Up. Call 01983 521 267. That's 01983 521 267.
Need your appliances pack tested? Call the local experts, West Wight Audio. Reasonable prices and all-island coverage. Give Kelvin a ring on 0800 118 2484 for a no-obligation chat. Email info@westwightaudio.co.uk or follow the link on the Vectis Radio homepage. West White Audio is celebrating something new, and we've got together with Vectis Radio and On The White for a fantastic competition with great prizes coming soon. Stay tuned to Vectis Radio for more details.
The Isle of Wight phone-in is powered by White Fibre. Their network is fibre optic and designed to bring you a high-speed broadband service. Visit www.whitefibre.com.
Just to let you know, there was an accident, a road traffic accident a little while ago, about an hour, just over an hour ago, the dual carriageway, and there was a biffer truck that was on its side, and traffic was closed in both directions, we understand, and it will remain so for the next little while. We'll keep you posted on that. Full report coming up in the news at 1 o'clock.
And that accounts for why I was late getting here.
But he still wolfed down that sandwich pretty quick.
Didn't he? Yeah, he did actually. Yeah, I watch his fingers; he didn't go down with it as well, you know.
So, this is one of those phone-ins, Pete, that we could have done this for about 3 hours.
Yeah,
because we've only just touched the surface, haven't we?
Yeah, we've gone off at a tangent quite a few times, but it's interesting. It's all good conversation, isn't it?
What's the major point you want to get across, though?
Well, going back to my favourite competitor country, Germany, who I think have got it absolutely right, and I think if Cameron was serious about trying to solve this country's many problems, he should be looking at the German economy and seeing what they're doing right and accepting what he's doing wrong, which is placing all of our eggs in the banker's basket even now, despite what's happened. But he's still in hock to the bankers and thinking that they're going to solve our problems.
I think you're right, but we don't do these sorts of things. You know, is it swallowing your pride and saying, hey, look, I saw a programme the other, it was in the news, actually. They were talking about the Japanese economy.
Right.
They don't have any problems. They don't have any problems with their politicians. They don't have any problems. Yep. They don't have any debts. Yep. So surely someone should be knocking on the door and saying, hey, look, help us out with you. We want to know how you're doing with the Germans.
But they don't have so many restrictive practices, do they? You don't see armies and armies of Japanese people all covered in cream cheese jackets, do you?
So
silly,
already,
stupid hats.
Already we're learning something.
Well, you know, yeah.
From someone else's culture, somebody else's
ways.
But
if you look at the German economy, right, Germany suffered probably one of the worst things that could ever happen to a country like Germany, well, West Germany. They had to have East Germany back. East Germany was a basket case. So everybody in East Germany suddenly gets the benefit of becoming a unified country. That cost them billions. A load of Turks managed to slip across the border as well during that, so they've got a problem with Turkish people in Germany, like we have with just about every other nation in the world apart from the Turks. But they get on with it, and they don't take no nonsense. I mean, the ridiculous stuff that we have to put up with, like spending 12 years to get a bloke with no hands out of the country, all you had to do was take him by the arms and put him on a plane,
yeah.
You know. And if this woman's to be believed, that we who said on the, you know, the news the other day, she's going to take people if out of the country and let them appeal when they've gone home. Let them appeal abroad. Yeah, great. Once they've lost their right to be here, kick them out and let them appeal when they're in another country. But you see, we can't do that because we're always playing the British stiff upper lip. We're always doing it the right way. And all we are doing is being ripped off left, right and centre
by
everybody
else.
The
wrong way.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, the simple facts of the matter are, if you plant a pound coin in the ground, it will still be a pound coin in 100 years' time. It won't grow anything. Unless you make something with that pound, it will only ever be a pound.
Okay, Tim Morris has made a point, and it's a fascinating point, which incorporates some of the things that we've been talking about in the last 10 minutes or so. He says, I worked for 20 years in the textile industry and watched on as all the jobs went abroad. As they paid workers $1 a day, now our government is sending aid to foreign textile workers to train health and safety. We should be making things in this country, not answering telephone calls.
There you go.
Markup is a huge consequence. It is a cause, actually, of shipping out millions of jobs to places like China, for instance. When our manufacturers, not manufacturers, but the companies, retailers, big retailers in the main, when they discovered that they could knock stuff out in the Far East for next to nothing and put a massive markup on it, that was a huge draw for them.
Greed.
Of course it was.
I mean, look across the water, just across the water on the North Island, yeah? Transit vans, Southampton. They don't no longer make transit vans, but they're made in Turkey. So everybody still needs a transit van, but it's no longer made at the home of the transit van. It's made in Turkey.
And what's the average wage in Turkey?
Exactly. It's the greed. It's the way it all works. It's all about greed. More money. Got to have more money. It's all the time.
Well, the average wage in Turkey is probably a quarter of what it is here, and that was the big pull for Ford to take the jobs there. But my point is, and I just really got to get this in before the end of the phone in, we've got millions of kids in this country who are going to university where most of them shouldn't be. Most of them should be going into apprenticeships. We should be getting the most out of the skilled adults in this country who are actually getting a bit long in the tooth now and aren't going to be long before they're all shuffling off into the flames, in a procession. We need to get the information out of the heads of those guys and hand it on to the next generation. Mm. Germany's success it is now because they have big industries. They understand the value of skills.
They've retained them, Pete. They've retained their big industries.
Yeah, of course they have. Yeah, we've let ours all of ours go. And what we've largely replaced our large-scale industries with is cottage industries. Well, that's all very well if you're doing sort of making garden gnomes. But if you want to do something serious, like build a mechanical digger or a ship, you can't do that with cottage industries. You need people as a workforce under one company umbrella, all working, doing their particular part to build that item. And the Germans build magnificent ships these days. We can't anymore because we've lost the industries. When Germany builds a magnificent ship or a mechanical digger, a car, a Volkswagen, a Mercedes-Benz, whatever it is, that is a high-value product. It's built to a very high standard. It creates for that country a worthwhile economy. We've got all these people who are doing what I'm doing now, which is mine's now a cottage industry. I work for myself in isolation, don't cooperate with anybody for the most part. And because there are millions of little me's in the country, people like myself working in tiny workshops dotted around here, there and everywhere. We can't compete on big orders. We can't tender for big orders. We can't build big products anymore. But it's those big products that give a country its identity and bring in for the nation its income.
I mean, you've got to point the finger as well at the government of the day, whichever one it is. If you take, for example, our railway industry, all the new trains that they were bought for the East Coast Line and the West Coast Line, I mean, they're not made in this country.
No. Nope.
They're all coming in from Italy and God knows where
Germany,
else. I mean, what happened to our train manufacturers?
Well, the real fast ones are being brought in from Japan.
They're
built by Hitachi.
Yeah.
And Hitachi charge £1 billion for a set. That's two locomotives and the carriages that go in the middle.
Darren and Holmby, isn't it?
£1 billion. Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, and that's to transport them right around the other side of the world as well. And it's, you know, I mean, the government should really have said, well, actually, let's have them made in this country, but could we make them in this country? Would we have had the necessary now to make something a state of the art as
it's
that?
It's attitude. It's all down to attitude. Yeah. We've got the people. We've got the heritage. We've got the need.
Have we got the infrastructure?
We've got the infrastructure, and we have the desperate need to save the economy of the country, to stop exporting billions upon billions of pounds to all over the globe when we need that money here to create jobs for our kids. For the next generation.
I'll tell you what, you're absolutely right, and it's fascinating. I'm sorry to call time, but it is almost 1 o'clock.
That goes so fast.
It does go incredibly fast. So, if you want to know more details, you've got a website.
I've got a website, yeah. It's www.sheepnomore.co.uk. And there's a blog as well. It was a blog at Sheep No More. So,
are you sure it's not a bar at Sheep No More?
And Arthur doesn't have a blog. Or a website.
I don't do anything. some would say that's been typical of my life story. I don't do anything.
Hey, gentlemen, thank you very much for being there.